On a Friday morning, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Syria faces more pressure to stop its violent crackdown on protesters. The United Nations says more than 3,000 people have been killed on the streets, including 14 people just yesterday. Activist groups say clashes took place between troops loyal to the government of Bashar al-Assad and others believed to be army defectors. Hoping to further isolate Syria, the European Union is blacklisting the Commercial Bank of Syria. NPR's Deborah Amos is in Damascus and is asking if those sanctions could change Syrian policy.
In downtown Damascus, open-air shops line the street in the Midan neighborhood. A government escort is with me for every interview about the sensitive question of sanctions. Hassan Saghouri runs a sweet shop, and I ask him if prices are rising. No, he says everything is perfect. It's the same answer at Bashar al-Qassim's electronic shop.
What you're saying is that no one is affected by the sanctions, it's just nothing's changed.
It remains as it was.
The answers are so upbeat that even the government escort shakes his head and says, I don't know why they're all lying to you. Every Syrian has felt the pain. For the poor, eggs and meat are now out of reach. For the well-to-do, international banks have stopped processing personal credit cards. For merchants, there's a collapse in demand, says Nabil Sukar, a former World Bank official who runs an independent research center in Damascus.
There is a tremendous depression because there is still no light at the end of the tunnel.
It's not just the sanctions, says Sukar. The uprising has had an even bigger impact on the economy. The uncertainty has shut down tourism and dried up foreign investment. And there's another price to pay for the massive government crackdown. The army has been deployed in Syrian cities for months.
The cost for that military operation, which the money has to come from our budget.
A shrinking national budget. The European Union's ban on Syrian oil comes into force in November. Syria has to find new buyers for a product that makes up one-third of all state revenues. So the economic pain is expected to get a whole lot worse. A birthday celebration at one of the capital's trendy cafes. This street in Damascus is a symbol of the economy built by a young president over a decade in power, with a row of brand-name coffee houses, restaurants, and designer clothing shops. Bashar al-Assad opened the economy, enriched a business elite, and created a consumer culture in Syria. He reversed the command economy when he inherited the presidency from his father and gained legitimate support, says Peter Harling with the International Crisis Group based in Damascus.
Many people saw in Bashar at least someone who could introduce a certain atmosphere of liberalism, access to imported goods of the quality which was inexistent under his father.
But now the economic crisis threatens to push the country back to the 1980s with long lines for locally produced goods, says Harling.
The problem for the regime is that this is a prospect which its base of support, what's left of its base of support, resents.
But that resentment could backfire if Western sanctions hurt average Syrians more than the regime, says newspaper editor Wada Abed-Rabo.
When you hear the European or the American, they told you that sanction would not affect the Syrian people. It's not true, because we are all affected by the sanction. Normally, the regime are not affected by all this.
The regime can rally the country, demand sacrifices with an anti-American campaign, says Rabo. Most Syrians are unprepared for this economic disaster. The regime, he says, has a system in place.
These people know exactly how to live with sanction. They adapt. They adapt their life on sanction.
Those in Western capitals waiting for the regime to crack under the pressure, he says, have a long wait. Deborah Amos, NPR News.